knows how to wriggle. Who brought the belly buttons? Who knows how to jiggle them? Oh, who brought the belly laughs? Who knows how to giggle them? Oh, who brought their everything?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Worst kind of news about Senator Ted Kennedy today. He has brain cancer, a glioblastoma.
By the time these tumors become symptomatic, they are virtually incurable.
That's retired neurosurgeon from NYU Medical Center, Dr. Patrick Kelly, who says that the first clue was the senator's seizure. Certainly not a good sign.
With treatment, with as aggressive surgery as one can do, radiation, chemotherapy, the mean survival is now about 14 to 16 months.
Good luck wishes in the fight to come, swept in from the White House to Capitol Hill and people all over the country. Senator Hillary Clinton in Kentucky.
We wish him great success in this battle, as in every other battle that he has won over so many years.
Democratic primaries in Oregon and Kentucky today. One more hour before those polls close in Kentucky. Exit polls show if Barack Obama has an Achilles heel in Kentucky, it may be a failure to rally Hillary Clinton's voters to him if he wins the nomination.
8 in 10 of Clinton's voters say they would not be satisfied if Obama eventually becomes the Democratic Party nominee. In fact, 6 in 10 of them say that in November they would vote for McCain or wouldn't even vote if Obama is the party's standard bearer.
Anthony Salvanto at the CBS News Election Unit. Custody hearings for the children of polygamy continue, and fathers are starting to speak out in Texas.
I'm Steve Kathan in San Angelo, Texas.
My family is my life.
So Dan Jessup came to a custody hearing. Other fathers did too.
These are fathers who have left the church, and so they're no longer members of the church, but the mothers of their children are still part of the church, and so are their children.
Sect spokesman Rod Parker says those mothers want to stay in the church. The fathers want them to get custody and remain a part of the society they've known all their lives. Under terms laid out by the state, that may be impossible.
It is no boom, but home sales have started moving in the right direction, says Andrew LePage at DataQuick, looking at California.
Sales increased statewide about 27% between March and April. So it was an unusually large increase between those 2 months. However, April was still the slowest April we have in our statistics since 1995.
Most of the analysts are saying a real estate rebound is certainly closer now. The Wrigley Company is going ancient, adding an extract from the magnolia to its Eclipse chewing gum and mints. Magnolia bark has been used by the Chinese for centuries to get rid of bad breath. It's not toxic, it has no bad side effects, and they say it works by killing the germs. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 199 points today. The Nasdaq was off almost 24 points. Oil prices, $129 today, up more than $2 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
There's a new report on tough interrogation techniques and specifically what the FBI knew about them. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department.
The Inspector General found that the FBI complained for years about military and CIA interrogations, but were told that since these were military rules on military turf, the Pentagon would always prevail. The FBI is given high marks for not participating in detainee abuse, but is faulted for not pushing back harder or sooner once officials realize that the tactics may have violated Pentagon interrogation policies.
Greenpeace and other groups wasted no time in court now to try to force the government to change its greenhouse gas rules, with the polar bear as the pretext. They argue now that the bear is on the threatened list, the government must protect it. The way to protect it is to keep the ice from melting, and the way to do that, they say, is to reduce greenhouse gases. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
At Mercedes-Benz, every certified pre-owned vehicle comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles, ensuring that every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. You're invited to participate by telephone. That means, yeah, we take your calls. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter at peterbcollins.com.
All the teachers' time to teach a new way. Read it in their lesson for what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up in the world of this day. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
This hour, we're going to talk about a controversial case from Philadelphia, a crime that occurred in 1981, where a police officer, Daniel Faulkner, was gunned down. Convicted of the crime is Mumia Abu-Jamal, a former public radio reporter in Philly, who has always maintained his innocence. And as you may or may not know, I have always been opposed to capital punishment. His death sentence was commuted or overturned by a court a few years ago. But I also have spent a good part of my life volunteering to assist those who are incarcerated and who are completely innocent of the charges that got them the sentence that they are serving. And I must confess that I've had some discomfort with the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal because I never really saw a clear and compelling case that he was as innocent as he maintained. And I also felt that his conduct at trial and some of the other controversies that have attended his case and the movement that preceded him and that has coalesced around him were what I would call imperfect poster childs or imperfect icons for both innocence and opposition to the death penalty. There's a new book out called The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And for me, it is the first clear description of the issues in Philadelphia that preceded the incidents in 1981 December 9th, 1981, to be precise, and the ensuing efforts to overturn the convictions and win freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal. The author of the new book, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal, is J. Patrick O'Connor, and he joins us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Patrick, thank you for talking with us, and thank you for all the work that you put into this book.
Well, thank you, Peter. I'm very happy to be with you tonight.
And you describe that you were a writer for TV Guide in a community near Philadelphia when it used to be owned by the Annenbergs before they sold it to Rupert Murdoch. There was an intermedia there somewhere. But you first observed this a little bit from a distance, and it appears that you have connected with many of the people in the movement to free Mumia. But that you did not approach this initially as an out-and-out advocate for his cause.
Not at all. I'm a lifelong reporter, and that's the way I approached it, just to study the case and see what I could find by looking, you know, at the trials, at the transcripts of the trial and his post-conviction hearings and that type of thing. So I set about doing it like I would any article that I've ever written, just to get to the facts of the matter mm-hmm. and present them in a coherent way.
Mm-hmm. And, Patrick, I have to say that you did an excellent job of identifying and detailing the context, because this was not an event that was just isolated. It was preceded by the group called MOVE, a very controversial group in Philadelphia. Many of the people adopted the last name Africa. It was started by Vincent Lopez Liephart, who changed his name to John Africa. And some people probably have a foggy memory of some incidents that occurred in Philadelphia, a standoff at the MOVE compound. That was in 1978. And also here on the West Coast, we have a kind of fuzzy recognition of who Frank Rizzo was and is. And let's talk about Rizzo for a moment here to give people a sense of the milieu in which Mumia Abu-Jamal was operating as a public radio newsman in Philadelphia. And I'll just start by saying that I'm embarrassed that Frank Rizzo has spent a lot of time, like I do, behind a microphone doing talk radio.
He did for a few years, that's true.
Yeah.
After he attempted to have the city charter in Philadelphia changed so that he could run for mayor a third time, that went down big,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up as a talk show host in Philadelphia for a few years.
Right, but before he was mayor, he was the police chief and a very hardliner, law and order guy at that.
Very big time. He was the, you know, you talk about poster boys. He was the law and order guy that, you know, like President Nixon would point out as, this is what it's all about, this is how you do it. His police force, though, was so engaged in police brutality that for a four-year, the largest federal investigation of a municipal police force was conducted during Rizzo's term in office, when Rizzo was had then become mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But during that four-year period in the mid-70s, they conducted this massive investigation into police brutality in Philadelphia and wanted to take them to court and sue Rizzo and the commissioner, the police commissioner, and many, many others inside the department. But the court said that they didn't have the FBI and the Justice Department didn't have standing to file the suit, and so the suit was dropped. But the facts were there that this was really an out of control, over the line police force in a major urban area that particularly was harsh to minority people, and MOVE became kind of the great example of how, you know, no holds barred a kind of police force used against this very small radical group to root them out of Philadelphia.
And MOVE had some resemblance to the Black Panthers and some of the African-American activists of the 1960s. But by the early 1970s, largely because of the FBI's counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, those groups had been broken up. Many of the leaders were dead or sent to jail. And so the Black Power movement, the Black Liberation movement, had stalled. But John Africa, in a localized way, created a community there that was attempting to be self-sustaining, was attempting to challenge the white leadership of Philadelphia, and probably scared the living daylights out of people like Frank Rizzo and others who certainly, you know, didn't understand and couldn't comprehend some of the vitriol that MOVE presented.
Well, when MOVE was started out in an area of Philadelphia that was kind of being regentrified at the time, near Drexel University, and not too far from the University of Pennsylvania, they bought, they had this compound, a very large Victorian house that John Africa set up the group in, and there would be 25 to 30 MOVE members there at any one time in this house, and the group was kind of tough as a neighbor because they let the garbage compost, and they had a lot of pets, maybe up to 30 dogs running around the place, and they were confrontational. They had bullhorns. They weren't militant in the sense of any kind of a Black Panther thing, though. These were vegetarians, mm-hmm. Back-to-nature types that really wanted to, you know, be left alone, but they wouldn't leave them alone, and so they went offensive with things like bullhorns, preaching, you know, talking over the bullhorns at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving their neighbors nuts. And so pressure built up over a few years, city code violations, health violations, that they had Rizzo did a 100-day blockade of this house. If you lived anywhere near there, you had to show ID to get in and out. The streets were barricaded. They had, sniper posts all over the place. They turned off the electricity to the place. They tried to force them out, but MOVE wouldn't leave. And so in 1978, they had the standoff where MOVE wouldn't leave the house, and the police warned them if they didn't, they would take the action to evict them forcibly, and that's what happened. They they put the fire department put water canyons. All the MOVE members went down in the basement of this large house, and there were children, very young children, and about 12 adults and 6-7 kids down this basement. They flooded it with water and fired many, you know, hundreds of rounds of bullets at the house when they wouldn't come out. And eventually, all the MOVE members did come out. Not one of them was injured, but in this, all the bullets that were going back and forth, one of them struck a police officer across the street named James Ramp, and he was in a second-story window of a house in a sniper post across the street. He got killed mm-hmm. by one shot. And so when they arrested the nine adults in that house, put them on trial. The trial took place in 1979. It was the longest, the most expensive trial in Philadelphia history. So this is every day in the news, constant publicity for this group. And the nine were convicted, nine people convicted of killing one officer with one bullet. They didn't know who did it, so the judge, this wasn't a jury trial, it was a judge trial, and the judge, Judge Mohammed, said, you all wanted to be tried as a family, I'm convicting you as a family.
And the sentences were 30 to 100 years in prison.
30 to 100 years, and the 30 years is just up right now. This time right now, the 30 years is up.
Mm-hmm.
The women involved, there were four women, one of whom died like 2000 or so in prison. Her name was Merle Africa. But three women came up for parole, and because they wouldn't admit to any part in the death of Officer Ramp, nor show remorse for killing him, since they said they didn't kill him, therefore there's no remorse,
right.
Their parole was denied.
Mm-hmm.
The men, the men will come up. There's five of them. They'll come up this month or the next month, and they're going to face the same problem.
Patrick, we need to take a break. We'll pick up the narrative as we continue. Patrick O'Connor, J. Patrick O'Connor, is the author of this new book, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. We'll get into the story of the events of December 1981 that led to his conviction, a death sentence that has since been overturned, but his freedom is still in the offing. More in a moment, and if you have a question or comment, call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Alan Mella with Monterey Business Brokers. Many people aren't aware of the crucial role that a business broker plays in the buying or selling of a business. Many bright people that wouldn't dream of selling their home without a qualified real estate professional or do their taxes without a smart CPA don't have professional representation in the purchase or sale of a business. A transaction that has the potential for a lot more variables and complexity. I market my clients' businesses effectively, handling all aspects of the sales process, and I assist buyers to find the right fit to meet their financial needs and lifestyle. I bust my butt to put the right buyer with the right business, proactively market my sellers' businesses, and network like crazy on their behalf. People say that I'm a creative and energetic guy and that I take care of my clients. I'm here to facilitate positive transitions for buyers and sellers of businesses. If you're ready to buy or sell a business, I'd like to work for you. Give me a call at 917-3511. I'm Alan Mella with Monterey Business Brokers. Let's make your best deal happen. Call me at 917-3511.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As Supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for Supervisor on June 3rd.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
Hey,
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes into the hour. My guest is J. Patrick O'Connor. He's the author of a new book called The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and he's also the editor and publisher of Crime Magazine. He's worked for UPI as a reporter. He was editor of Cincinnati Magazine. And, Patrick, I grew up in Cincinnati. I don't miss the humidity or the Republican machines, but Mom is still there. And we're talking about the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was convicted in 1982 and sentenced in 82 and then sentenced in 83 to death by a unanimous jury decision. Do I have that right? I'm looking at your timeline here.
Well, he was sentenced in 82 as well.
Okay.
Sentenced. It was an incredibly rushed job.
Well, let's come back to that because I want to follow it here in sequence. So, in the first segment, we kind of established the context there in Philadelphia that we've got this white hardline on crime mayor Frank Rizzo. We have the challenge of MOVE and the 1978 standoff there that led to these convictions of nine people for the death of a single person by a single bullet, a police officer named James Ramp. And then Mumia Abu-Jamal is working as a radio reporter for public station WHYY. Many people know that as the home of Fresh Air and Terry Gross. At any rate, he left the station because they felt that he wasn't being objective enough in some of the coverage, particularly of Mayor Rizzo. And then in December, there was this scene on the street at 4 a.m., where police officer Daniel Faulkner, who ultimately died in this altercation, pulled over a Volkswagen that turned out to have been driven by Mumia's brother, William Cook. And according to the police accounts, Mumia was the trigger man who killed officer Daniel Faulkner. The physical evidence and the eyewitness testimony was in conflict, though, and you detail that in the book. We just have about 2 minutes to the next break here, so Patrick, give us a couple of key points here about the inconsistencies of the government's case and the eyewitness accounts against Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Well, the two primary witnesses they used, one was a prostitute with 38 arrests in the last 18 months, and the other was a convicted felon cab driver who had thrown a Molotov cocktail into a schoolyard for pay. He's a 21-year-old white guy. Those were the two witnesses that claimed to have seen Mumia do the shooting. These witnesses were arranged by one of the most corrupt police officers in the history of Philadelphia, the officer named Alfonso Giordano, who took over the crime scene. He got there in 10 minutes. And this is 4 o'clock in the morning. He's there in 10 minutes in full uniform because he'd just been taking payoffs from bar owners and pimps, et cetera, in the area, so he was available. So this corrupt official gets the prostitute lined up, sends her, doesn't even ask her to identify Mumia, sends her in a patrol car downtown to give a statement, and her first statement is so wildly different from what she will say at trial that it's pathetic that they would use this kind of perjured testimony to get this conviction. But she was the one more than anyone at that trial who put the gun in Mumia's hand and made him the fall guy.
And the first of all, Mumia was injured. He was wounded and took a bullet himself.
He was almost killed, very close to dying. As he approached, his brother was being hit in the back of the head by Officer Faulkner with an 18-inch flashlight. Mumia sees this. He's in a cab. He's parked across the street. He's moonlighting. People are coming out of the bars. It's about time to get another fare. But he sees this. He gets out of the car. He runs across the street, and it's only like 25 feet away. Mm-hmm. Very tight area there. And I think as he gets right up to Officer Faulkner sees Mumia in dreadlocks, etc. He's feared. He's afraid. He's alone. And he shoots Mumia in the chest.
We'll stop there and pick up after the break with J. Patrick O'Connor, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Questions? 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, worldwide investing through the eyes of experience for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The federal No Child Left Behind law says that all students must reach certain goals by a time.
It sets the expectations high that every child will be proficient in reading and math by 2013-14. But the law allows each state to define what that means.
The states know that they'll look better, at first anyway, if they set the bar low.
So some states tend to lowball it. Some states tend to set goals at a lower level. But in a way, it's because they're trying to be realistic about the degree of support they're going to get from the public to achieve those goals.
Jack Jennings is president of the Nonpartisan Center on Education Policy, which says in a new report that when the target school year comes, the lowballing states may not make it.
The problem is that we're not working hard enough to be able to do better for all kids, and therefore we may not be able to reach that goal.
More after this. Who do you depend on to help protect your family's health and property? Well, doctors, of course, and firefighters and police officers. But how about pest professionals? They're your best defense against household pests like bedbugs, mice, and termites. Pests like these contribute to asthma, serious illness, and property damage. To learn all about household pest threats and to locate a qualified pest professional near you to help protect your family, visit pestworld.org.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Our schools aren't getting worse, says Jack Jennings.
What's happened in the last 10 to 15 years is that we have not done worse. We've done better than we did before. But the rest of the world is catching up with us and going beyond us.
And 5 years from now, a lot of our students, when they are tested, aren't going to make the targeted improvements.
We're measuring it only by test scores. What has happened throughout the country is that teachers are increasing test scores, but they are not increasing them fast enough so that every child is going to be at a certain level as anticipated under the law.
Some say the 100% proficiency target actually is a disincentive for states to raise their academic standards. That's not the problem, says the new report.
The problem is that the law is very strong on setting goals. It's very weak on providing the assistance for states and school districts and teachers to help kids to achieve these goals.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue our conversation with writer J. Patrick O'Connor. His new book, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal, is the clearest case presentation I've seen about the actual innocence in the cop-killing case of Daniel Faulkner back in 1981. Mumia remains behind bars.
I only wanna show.
And Patrick O'Connor, I just want you to know our next break is a long way down the road, so you can take a little time here to tell us this portion of the story. I want to just rewind a moment to the events of December 9th, 1981. It's 4 o'clock in the morning in a tough section of Philadelphia, 13th and Locust Streets. And a police officer pulls over a Volkswagen that turns out to be driven by William Cook, who is Mumia's brother, a younger brother. And as Mumia apparently observes this from just across the street, sitting in his taxi cab filling out his log sheet, he jumps out of the car, and it's not clear to me at what point he recognized that it was his brother who had been stopped. So why don't you pick up the narrative there and talk about how William Cook was being treated by Officer Faulkner. And let's first talk about the government's version of events. And then in your book, you also have an itemized, detailed account from Mumia himself about his version of events.
The police version, or then the prosecution version, was that and one credible witness testified at trial to this effect, that when the car was, when the VW was pulled over, driven by William Cook, Officer Faulkner approached, and there were some heated words exchanged. And both the passenger, according to some testimony later, both the passenger and the driver got out of the car. And Faulkner took some ID from the passenger, put that in his shirt pocket, and got him, made him get back into the car, but Cook stayed out. They had a more heated words, and Faulkner was, had Cook kind of face down on the front of the patrol car, and Cook turns around and hits Faulkner in the face. Faulkner then takes out this 18-inch flashlight and starts banging Cook in the back of the head, causing his knees to buckle and quite a bit of blood to come out. The Mumia sees this from across the street. He gets out of his taxi cab and runs over toward Faulkner. As he gets, well, the police version is he ran over and shot Faulkner in the back. And then when Faulkner fell down on the ground, he executed him. You know, it was an execution type of a killing right between the eyes.
And in the government's version, Patrick, how did Mumia take a bullet?
Well, the officer, he's shot in the back. This is really hard to believe. They just didn't have any way to explain it that made sense. But the best they could come up with was the prostitute, Cynthia White, said, "And I think as he was falling down backwards, he reached for something." Now, she didn't see any gun in Faulkner's hand, didn't see any shot or anything like this, but just that's all the jury got to hear. He maybe reached for something. So they've got him falling, as he's falling down backwards, getting off this shot, after being shot in the back himself, being able to get off this shot that hits Mumia in the chest. Now, this shot would have gone in on an upward angle. The trajectory would have been straight up, but the actual ballistics on it showed that, and the doctor testified to this, this bullet entered in a downward trajectory, started in his chest and ended up in his kidney on a straight line. So that completely disproved the prosecution scenario of the crime. What it did show was that as Mumia approached Faulkner, he was shot like a foot away from him in the chest and collapsed at his feet and blacked out. That's what actually happened. Now, there's a cab driver going by the scene by the name of Robert Harkins. He has no axe to grind in this matter. He's driving a cab. He goes right by the VW and the police car, and here's what he sees. He sees a 220 to 225-pound man in a wrestling match. He sees Faulkner grab this man by the shoulders. Faulkner's a 220-pound, 6-foot guy himself. They wrestle. The officer is thrown to the ground, on his hands and knees, going backward. His back is now toward the man he'd been having a situation with. The man then, who's armed, takes his gun out and shoots the officer in the back from a foot away or so, causing Officer Faulkner to roll over now on his back, facing, looking right at the man, who then shoots him between the eyes and kills him instantly. This man, this is what the cab driver sees. When the second shot is fired right into his face, the cab driver fears for his own life. He's 5 feet away. He leaves and drives two blocks and finds a paddy wagon and tells these two officers that a policeman's been shot. So they tell that cab driver to stick around. They want to talk to him. They take his statement. He says just what I just said now, what he'd seen. But what he'd seen didn't fit any of the concocted testimony they had from the prostitute or the other felon at the scene, this guy named Robert Chobert, who's a cab driver driving without a license. He'd had two DUIs and had no license. He's on probation for the Molotov cocktail incident. He sees it totally different, and so does Cynthia White, the prostitute. So the prosecution, they don't like this statement. They send the cops back to see Robert Harkins again 3 days later and take another statement from him. And he reiterates and expands more detail of saying exactly what he'd said the first time, that the officer accosted the man, they wrestled, the officer lost that deal. So that witness, Robert Harkins, is never called, is never part of this case. The prosecution doesn't want any part of him. He's not brought to the, you know, he's not introduced to the jury. He's never heard of again.
Patrick, as you look at this and have looked back at it, and we'll get to Mumia's version of events here in a moment, but do you see the possibility that Faulkner shot in self-defense?
I see Faulkner fearing for his life very much.
Mm-hmm.
And having just battered this Billy Cook pretty good, he sees this man in dreadlocks running toward him.
Yeah.
And dreadlocks to any officer in Philadelphia means one thing. It means move. And they are petrified of move. Move does not back down from the cops.
Mm-hmm.
That's their modus operandi. They don't back down. So Faulkner's alone. He's on duty by himself this night, and he left his vest, his bulletproof vest, in his locker. He got busy, so he's fierce for his life. Is what I would think, like you or I would. He's 25 years old himself,
yeah.
And he shoots this guy running toward him in self defense. Now Mumia, in an affidavit he did in 2001, the first time he'd ever spoken about the case, because he'd always contended that until he got a trial in front of a jury of his peers, he was not going to give his version of the events.
Right.
Well, he got new attorneys, and they talked him into giving an affidavit. And essentially what he said was he heard what he thought were gunshots, which doesn't make much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
He looked up and he sees his brother, and his brother is screaming, and he runs toward his brother. And the next thing he knows, he's shot in the chest and blacks out, and that's the last thing he's got on this. The next thing he knows is he's being kicked in the face and brought out of you know, the stupor that he's in by the arriving police, who come within 3 minutes, you know, because the Harkins had alerted the police to the shooting. The police are there in 3 minutes.
And Patrick, let me read a couple of statements here from his declaration. They're numbered as sentences. When I opened my eyes, I saw cops all around me. They were hollering and cursing, grabbing and pulling on me. I felt faint, finding it hard to talk. As I looked through this cop crowd all around me, I saw my brother, blood running down his neck, and a cop lying on his back on the pavement. I was pulled to my feet, then rammed into a telephone pole, beaten where I fell, and thrown into a paddy wagon. I think I slept until I heard the door open and a white cop in a white shirt came in cursing and hit me on the forehead. I don't remember what he said, except there were a lot of N-words, black MFs, and whatnot. I believe he left and I slept. I remember I don't remember the wagon moving for a while, and then it did move for some time. I was beaten again at the doors of Jefferson Hospital, and he said, I never confessed to anything because I had nothing to confess to. I never said I shot the policeman. I did not shoot the policeman. I never said I hoped he died. I would never say something like that. And earlier in the declaration, he opens by saying, I did not shoot police officer Daniel Faulkner. I had nothing to do with the killing of Officer Faulkner. I am innocent. And so, you know, as you see this in context, Patrick, and again, I commend you for the job you did in the book, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal, because you can understand, and particularly now with the way the United States has operated at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere, and treated people who are accused without any rights, without being charged, without a trial, subject to what we call enhanced interrogation and I call torture. And we've seen now some of these detainees, as they're brought before tribunals, refuse to cooperate because they think that the whole thing is just a political theater. And without trying to get into Mumia's head, I can certainly understand that if you're innocent of a crime that is being framed around you, you have very little recourse except to proclaim your innocence. And if you feel that the judicial process is stacked against you, you are not inclined to participate. And while you and I acknowledged earlier that Mumia hurt his own cause in many cases by some of his commentary and outbursts, again, in context, it is quite understandable.
Very much so, although he didn't have, I mean, he started off to represent himself in that trial in 1982.
Right.
And on the very first day of the trial, he wanted John Africa to sit at his defense table and be his co-counsel. But the judge wouldn't have anything to do with that. John Africa is not an attorney. And then they took that to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that night and asked whether John Africa could sit at the table. They said no. Second day of the trial opened up, Mumia pressed again for John Africa to the point where the trial couldn't start.
Mm-hmm. And despite that, Patrick, in some of the transcript excerpts that you publish in your book, it seems that Judge Szabo was remarkably indulgent to some of the commentary and arguments that were coming from the defendant.
At the very early stages, he showed an incredible amount of restraint by letting this plea for John Africa go on for a day and a half. But after that, he took away Mumia's right to self-representation and forced on him a counselor named Anthony Jackson, who would be disbarred a few years later and had never tried a capital case in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He made him stand in as his chief counsel.
And Mumia rejected him almost from the start, right?
He thought he was incompetent, and it turned out he was what they call ineffective counsel.
Yeah.
A classic definition of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mumia should have had a new trial years ago because of the ineffective counsel he received at that trial.
We're going to take another break and return. J. Patrick O'Connor is the author of The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's out in soft cover for under $17 from Lawrence Hill Books. More in a moment. Your questions and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with The Peter B. Collins Show. Share this hour with a friend. The links for podcasts are right there on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks?
Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's Wednesday night, my woman's out. Once again, I'm home.
That's Robert Cray. It's called Foul Play, and I think that's a fair way of talking about the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. There's a powerful new book out called The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Its author, J. Patrick O'Connor, who is the editor and publisher of Crime Magazine, is with us on the program today. And, Patrick, to bring the story kind of up to speed, twice Governor Tom Ridge of Pennsylvania signed death warrants to have Mumia executed, and it has never occurred, and in the interim, a federal court intervened and essentially dismissed or voided the death sentence. And so he, I believe, is now serving a life without parole sentence in the Pennsylvania prison system. Is that correct?
That's true. In 2001, a federal district court judge overturned the death sentence on the grounds that the instructions to the jury that the judge gave were unconstitutional. They didn't explain to the jury its options clearly enough, and they had a tendency to lead toward a conviction of death. You know, that was the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, many of us are sharply aware that habeas corpus rights have been removed for the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, but habeas corpus is still in effect for U.S. citizens, although the Supreme Court has rolled back pauper suits and other efforts to bring attention to wrongful convictions in the federal courts. Has Mumia and attorneys for him, have they ever filed a habeas corpus case based on his claim of innocence?
Yes, that's what this judge, this federal judge in 2001 was reviewing.
Okay.
Was his habeas petition. Now, the judge only overturned the death sentence. He left in place all Mumia's claims of innocence and constitutional violations at trial. You don't really so much claim innocence in a habeas petition as you claim constitutional violations. And I can give you two examples that should have been upheld in 2001 that the judge mistakenly didn't recognize then.
Okay.
In the summation to the jury, now the prosecutor used this kind of language that is, he told the jury their decision might not be final, that Mumia would have appeal after appeal, and that no one had actually been executed in Pennsylvania for years. Well, this kind of language lessens the jury's sense of responsibility for handing out a guilty verdict.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the burden off them, and they think, well, somebody will correct it. And two, at the formation of the jury, the prosecutor used 10 or 11 of his peremptory challenges. These are challenges that a counsel can use, defense can use, and prosecution can use to take somebody out of the jury pool and not state any reasons for doing it.
Correct.
Just throw them off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he used 10 or 11 of these to throw off potential black jurors who were otherwise qualified to sit. Now, this is called a Batson violation from a Supreme Court case of 1986, where purging the jury of blacks or minority persons, if, let's say you're a black defendant,
mm-hmm.
So if they purge blacks, that's a Batson violation. The judge should have ordered a new trial based on that in 2001, but it didn't. So, Mumia's attorneys, the judge certified this claim without doing anything else, but he did certify it, which allowed Mumia's attorneys to take this to the appeals court, the U.S. Appeals Court in the Third Circuit, which happens to sit in Philadelphia. And they, on March 27th of this year, did the same thing that Jan did. They said, we uphold we agree that the death sentence is to be removed. He's entitled to another sentencing hearing, which means the prosecution could put Mumia back into a courtroom in front of a new jury and just go through the sentencing phase. He's guilty, and then they could try to get the death penalty reinstated again. So he's far from clear of never having to face the death penalty again.
I see.
And that's still an option in play for the district attorney's office in Philadelphia.
Now, Patrick, I don't believe that in order to establish his innocence, you have to flatly prove who did kill Officer Faulkner, but it certainly would help.
Yeah.
Can you finger the trigger man?
I can. I name him in the book as this Kenneth Freeman. He's the street vendor partner of Billy Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Lifelong friends. They work together every day. And they rode together every night. And Freeman's with him, and Freeman's the one who also got out of the car that night. And Officer Faulkner took this driver's application from him that was made out to a man named Arnold Howard, a good friend of Kenneth Freeman's. The police that morning, before dawn, this murder, you know, this killing took place at 3:55. Before dawn, they're at Arnold Howard's house, rousting him out. They bring him down to the police station. And Howard says, oh, I gave that to my friend Kenneth Freeman. That's a fake ID I gave him for his ID purposes. So they then go and get Freeman. They bring him in early in the morning. And this star witness they've got, this prostitute Cynthia White, she twice picks him out of a lineup. But the police don't want Freeman.
Yeah.
They want Mumia.
Mm-hmm.
And so
briefly, why hasn't Freeman copped, or why hasn't Billy Cook fingered him in order to free Mumia?
Well, Billy Cook did finger him in his 2001 affidavit. He did name, he said Freeman told him that he was involved in Faulkner's killing. Freeman doesn't come forward because in August of 1985, when the police firebombed the MOVE compound on Osage Avenue. They dropped a bomb out of a helicopter onto the roof of the building, and
I remember.
Burned up 61 row houses. A whole block of Philadelphia was burned down. That very night, Freeman is found in a vacant lot in North Philadelphia, black section of Philadelphia. He's handcuffed His hands are behind his back. He is nude.
I got to stop there, Patrick okay. O'Connor. People can read the book, The Framing of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Thank you, sir.
All righty.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The research is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at the...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A grim diagnosis for one of the country's most prolific senators.
The majority of people will succumb to this cancer within 2 years' time of being diagnosed.
And CBS News estimates Hillary Clinton has won the Kentucky primary.
She's the smartest of the three, and I think she needs all the help she can get.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. We learned today that Senator Ted Kennedy has a cancerous brain tumor discovered during tests after a seizure this weekend. Dr. Sean Kniff is a neurologist and CBS medical consultant.
Given Senator Kennedy's age, it's most likely going to be what we call a GBM or a glioblastoma multiforme, and it's one of the most malignant brain tumors known to man, if that's his case. If he has a GBM, it portends a very, very poor prognosis.
The 76-year-old Kennedy remains hospitalized in Boston. His doctors haven't announced what treatment they'll pursue. In Washington, his Senate colleagues, John Kerry and Robert Byrd, reacted.
Over the weekend, I saw him. He's in a fighting mood. Ted, my dear friend, I love you.
And from Republican Senator John Warner.
His voice resonates the rafters and the chairs. In this chamber, and it carries forth the same strength with which he has spoken so many times in this chamber will be the strength that he'll draw on, hopefully, and we all pray for his recovery.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush is said to be deeply saddened by word of Kennedy's condition. The two men are often on opposite sides of issues, but Mr. Bush thinks highly of Kennedy for helping to enact his signature education initiative, the No Child Left Behind Act.
And on the campaign trail from Barack Obama, who Kennedy supports for president.
It's heartbreaking. Ted Kennedy is one of the giants of the Senate. I think it's fair to say that I might not be in the Senate had it not been for some of the battles he's fought in the past for voting rights and civil rights.
And from Hillary Clinton.
We wish him great success in this battle, as in every other battle that he has won over so many years.
Now this.
Hello, this is William Shatner, and I'd like to tell you about a project I've been working on my entire life. Actually, it is my entire life. Up Till Now, that is. That's the name of my new book, Up Till Now, is the story of my life, including that unfortunate incident with Coco the gorilla, the true story of my encounter with an alien in the desert, the practical joke I played on an entire town, and all the other events that caused Publishers Weekly to say that my sincerity, honesty, and sense of humor all come across at warp speed. Up Till Now is available wherever books are sold.
This summer, when you're ready to take the family out on the road, make sure your car is just as prepared. Come into the Sears Auto Center this week, where all Michelin tires are on sale. Purchase 4 new Michelin tires and get them all installed for free after mail-in rebate. The Sears Auto Center is open 7 days a week, plus nights, and you can shop while your car is being serviced. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome. So come into the Sears Auto Center and get ready to live like it's summer. Sears.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Free tire installation has a $56 value. Offer valid 5/18/08, 5/24/08.
This could be a crucial moment in the Democratic presidential contest. Kentucky and Oregon are holding primaries. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss joins us live from Louisville.
Turnout was high, and exit polls are showing what we expected, that Hillary Clinton will win a big victory here in Kentucky. She's here and ready to celebrate with her supporters, but it may be a hollow victory. After the Oregon results come in a few hours, we expect Barack Obama will be able to claim the majority of elected delegates and be getting close to the majority needed for nomination. That has to come from the superdelegates, and more are coming over to him every day. But for now, Hillary Clinton's winning Kentucky, and will be speaking to her supporters to make the best of it.
I'm Dan Rubee. Very different results just in after Democratic primary voters were questioned in those two states. In Kentucky, 6 out of 7 had made up their minds over a week ago. In Oregon, half said they decided only in the past few days. Would you be satisfied if the other candidate becomes the nominee? In Oregon, a majority say yes. But in Kentucky, 2 out of 3 Clinton voters say they would not vote for Obama in November.
Oil prices have hit another record, rising above $129 a barrel. Is there a bright side?
The bottom line is that as bad as the prices look today, I think we're a lot closer to the top than we were just a few days ago. I'm hoping Memorial Day will peak us out, but there's no doubt this momentum in this market is extremely strong right now.
Analyst Phil Flynn on Wall Street Today. The Dow finished 199 points lower. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential.
We have larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor electric guitars and progressive politics. Later this hour, Jason Leopold checks in. He's got a new story up at pubrecord.org about John McCain defending Enron accounting tactics. We'll take another swipe at McCain. Coming up next hour with Melanie Sloan from CRU, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She notes that the new policy banning lobbyists from participating in the McCain campaign has been written by lobbyists. But first, there are two competing ballot measures in the June 3rd primary here in California that require your attention. It's about an arcane subject called eminent domain. And it would allow the government to take your house, whether it's rockin' or not, and pay you a pittance for it. They'd call it fair market value, but they could pay you for it and then what? Build a stadium or a highway or maybe declare it a redevelopment zone and allow Macy's or Target to come in where your house used to be and build a commercial enterprise. This was the subject of a 2005 Supreme Court decision regarding the Kelos. The Kelos owned some property on a river in Connecticut. The town came in and seized it. And I think they built a Marriott hotel there or something like that. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And now property rights activists and advocates, including a well-funded right-wing organization, have been qualifying ballot measures across the country to restore what they think is a balance in this law. And that group, the right-wing group, has qualified Proposition 98. Those who oppose 98 because, as you'll find out, it has severe negative consequences for the millions of people who rent property in California. Prop 99 would protect rent control, but it leaves out small business owners who probably do need some protection from the extreme use of eminent domain. To give us some commentary and context, we turn to Dr. Bill Honigman. He's with the Progressive Democrats, California State Coordinator, and he's also an ER doc. And, Bill, welcome to our program today.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Good. It's nice to talk with you again.
Yes, good to talk to you.
So how does an ER doc get involved in eminent domain issues? Did somebody try to take your emergency room?
Well, sometimes I wish they would. I could be such a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
But I'm, as you mentioned, involved in politics, probably, you know, over my head, or at least filling a big hole in my head most of the time with the group PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. I know you've had a lot of our great people on there, like Norman Solomon and Steve Cobble in the past. And
sure.
I was visiting with you a year ago. When we were talking about the presidential primaries, when there were multiple people in the race.
Right.
But anyhow, I have my oars in the water for lots of things, and also I'm lately I've been appointed to for a position with the what's known as the California Democratic Council, which is a group organizing all the Democratic clubs across the state, and the CDC has a new committee called Politics and Policy, so they've asked me to chair that committee. So I'm pretty much involved in quite a few of the issues-oriented discussions across the state, and as you know, PDA has lots of issues discussions on our national conference calls and things. So we're quite involved in elections and all of the issues that show up on our ballot, especially statewide. And we try to coordinate with the state party. PDA works inside the Democratic Party as well as outside the Democratic Party when the party needs to, a gentle nudge from time to time. As you know, we've pushed on things like impeachment.
Yeah.
Our latest campaign is Healthcare Not Warfare, which seems fairly remote from the issue at hand in your discussion here today, which is the eminent domain issues. But there are, as you mentioned, some pretty high-powered players involved in these two ballot initiatives, and they are competing initiatives, so there's a fair amount of confusion, I know, amongst the voting public on these.
So fundamentally, first, Bill, are progressive Democrats in favor of fixing the Kelo decision?
Well, that's a good question, and frankly, I'm not that well-versed in that decision in particular, but I know that progressives in general are for the overall issue of economic justice, social and economic justice. So when there's eminent domain issues that stand to benefit an entire community as opposed to a single entity, a developer, a corporation, et cetera, you can bet that PDA will line up with the interests of the community.
Mm-hmm. So we have Prop 98, which was put on by conservative Republicans who are pro-business and pro-property rights, and they kind of gilded the lily by expanding into a clause that would essentially negate local rent control laws in California. And rent control, pardon me, is very active in San Francisco, in Berkeley, in Santa Monica, and other portions of Los Angeles County. And it does have the effect of allowing people to stay in their apartments even as the cost of housing escalates. And it is, in many ways, a last stop to prevent homelessness for many people who are living at a working wage and don't have the resources or a financial cushion to protect themselves. And so right off the bat, those distinctions make it pretty easy for me to say that I'll be voting against 98 and in favor of 99. Are there any other negative elements of 98 that you want to cite right now, Bill?
Uh, perhaps one or two, Peter.
Yep.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right on the rent control issue, that 98 would co-opt what the communities and civic entities can decide to do locally, what is within their own jurisdiction, to keep housing affordable in our communities. And as we know, that's an issue everywhere in California, especially especially since the Reagan years, when so many people were put on the street, as you mentioned. So rent control is and affordable housing is what the reason that 98 needs to go down, because it gets rid of that and again puts the power in the hands of the few rather than the many. It would also destroy what is arguably, you know, the local control for community planning of any kind. So I don't think we're talking about, putting up a Walmart, taking away somebody's home to put up a Walmart. What we're talking about is, what does the community need in terms of land resources in the area, and how much should local municipalities, how much space should they have? I could tell you that one of the largest negatives for me is, if you look at your California voter guide, as I tend to do, and when elections come around every time, and I sit down with my wife and now my kids, who are also voting, and we sit down and go over who's in support and who's against these initiatives, and you see right at the top of this one is the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association Protect Prop 13 Committee. And in my mind, it was once Prop 13 passed that most of the infrastructure and education and et cetera that in California, went into a decline, a severe decline. So I tend to vote against, and, I know lots of people out there do this too, anything that the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is for that reason.
And, Dr. Bill, in looking at 98 and 99, who is funding 98? Where's that money coming from? And has it been properly disclosed, from what you know?
I couldn't find it. I did a little research on my own, and, I count, I'm probably no more sophisticated than anybody else in terms of, following the money. I'm sure there are lots of wealthy interests backing this thing. I'm enthused that Prop 99 could come along, a competing initiative, and that, the rest of us could mount the effort to get a competing initiative on the ballot. So I'm looking at, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, something called the California Farm Bureau, California Small Business, National Federation of Independent Businesses. Never heard of these other groups. And, whereas the people opposing 98 are well-established groups like the League of Women Voters and the California Police Chiefs Association. Mm-hmm. Again, this is, the laws exist to support the communities and what their needs are in terms of public health and safety and crime prevention. If the California Police Chiefs Association is against 98, I'm against it too.
We're going to take a break and return with Dr. Bill Honigman. If you have a question or a comment about these competing ballot measures about eminent domain, one that would eviscerate rent control and the other that would protect it, that's 98 and 99 respectively, you can call in right now. Lines are open for you toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Give us a call here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Most mattress commercials feature a laundry list of brands the stores carry. You've heard the familiar names, and they count on that. So no matter what new model is introduced, no matter how good or inferior the components in that model, you'll still relate to the brand. SC41 Furniture carries its own brand, and we think that's good. Because we want you to judge our mattress on its quality and comfort, not just the name. At our store, you can see everything that goes into our mattresses. The durable slat suspension we adjust to each person, the high-grade carbon steel coils that hold their tension and deliver excellent support, latex cushioning made with air-circulating channels and free of all harmful chemicals, ultra-clean wool lining, and stretch cotton mattress covers that feel soft next to your body. You'll find this unique mattress made with only the highest quality components at one place, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz, on the web at sc41.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have some problems for 101 this afternoon. Prunedale, northbound 101 after Blackie Road. An older crash should be in the final clearing stages. Tow truck is recovering a vehicle that overturned and went about 20 feet off the roadway. You may see some heavy traffic. For Salinas, south 101 after Airport Boulevard, a piece of packing debris apparently scattered all over the roadway. Drive with caution. In Aptos Terrace Drive at Soquel Drive, a motorhome broken down. That's partially blocking the roadway. And it looks like we have one more 101 problem for you. This is northbound 101 before Potter Road. Fire department vehicle overturned and landed upright on the right-hand shoulder. It's an SUV. It's not a big fire truck or anything. No injuries reported there. CHP is on the scene and look for heavy traffic as you approach the area. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners through June, buy four tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Don't let that evil government take our house. Build a 7-Eleven, a gas station, or a Ritz-Carlton hotel. Well, I don't know if they give me a room.
Mother, where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mom, she's so house proud.
We're talking with Bill Honigman from Progressive Democrats of America. He is the California State Coordinator, and we're talking no on 98, yes on 99. These are competing ballot measures related to eminent domain, which is the arcane legal process that allows the government to take property, usually for some public use, like a highway or a park or something that can benefit more than the individual who was displaced.
And there was a Supreme Court decision that upset a lot of people, the Kelo decision in 2005. So now we have a essentially a Republican pro-property Prop 98, which has the bonus cherry on top, which would eviscerate rent control laws throughout California. That's the best reason I know of to vote against it, but the underlying way that they frame the issue, I think, is also problematic. And then we have Prop 99, which has a measure in it that if it gets more votes than 98, then 98 is null and void. Bill, who qualified 99? Do you know?
Good question. I believe it was also the Howard Jarvis taxpayers group.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. That information, I did glance at the Secretary of State's website.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I highly recommend folks go there, ss.ca.gov, and can study these issues. Specifically, if you go to the Voter Information Guide, that's that pamphlet that most of us, you know, can't seem to find when it comes around to Election Day. It's stuck under a cushion somewhere. And
I think it's under some unpaid bills at my house.
Yeah, there you go.
And have you seen any polling on this? I have not. I don't know where it currently stands in the minds of voters and how many people are just totally clueless about it.
That's right. I have not seen polling. I have seen at the recent state convention of the California Democratic Party, certainly there were lots of advocates for no on 98, yes on 99 there, and the state party is on record as against 98 for 99 as well. So
mm-hmm.
That's some big guns right there.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out, because this will be the lowest turnout in recent elections. A lot of people came out for the February primary. Many will come out for the November general with a president on the ticket. But this is going to be an extremely low turnout election. Only state and local primary officer or primary candidates are on this ballot, along with these two measures, and maybe there's one more. But we have to assume that the forces who support Prop 98 are going to be turning out in pretty high numbers relative to the overall picture.
That's right. It's no accident generally when these things come up at election time and there are those kind of dynamics. And so people who are putting forward these initiatives know full well what the kind of turnout is that they can expect, and therefore they've directed their campaign that way.
Let's go to Nancy in Winters has a comment for us. Welcome, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Hi.
Hi,
Dr. Bill. Yeah, there's actually something going on right now for the town of Clarksburg. There's a thing called the Bay Delta Protection Plan, and it's made up of big water interests from down south and a couple in the Bay Area, a couple counties in the Bay Area. And what's going on is that in the Delta smelt are endangered, and the reason is because they're, you know, water's being taken above the Delta and sent out of the area to these other areas for them to use the water.
Right.
And so there, this protection plan has been working for a couple years on trying to come up with something how to alleviate the problem with the water quality, and this has been done very quietly. And so they start having these public meetings about their, they have, I think, four proposals that they've come up with. And all four proposals suggest flooding the town of Clarksburg and also having a peripheral canal, which, of course, we voted out or down in 1982. So the people in Clarksburg didn't even know about this. And the public meeting to discuss this was actually, a lot of the people didn't even know about it. One of the local people found out and called people together, so they had a couple hundred people turn out, but a lot of people didn't even know. So the thing that I see is that the problem is the water issue. Is that they're taking water from up here and continuing to send it to places where they really shouldn't be continuing to build.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is these the people who make up this commission, like I said, are the big water interests. There's apparently a big money behind them. Why don't they build a desalinization plant and address the underlying issue instead of flooding not only an existing town but also the great farmland that they've
Nancy, let me just pause for a second to have a sip of my Crystal Geyser.
Okay.
which was stolen from the citizens of Shasta County.
Uh-huh. No, I know. This is, but what I'm saying is I don't see them really addressing the issue.
Yeah. No,
and
it's
so
a, it's
this
a very
is
good
just
point.
An example of the kind of thing that you're talking about.
Yep. It flies right under the radar. Bill, we just have about 20 seconds. What's your final comment about 98 and 99?
You know, the watchword is 98 we hate, 99 is fine. 98 would get rid of rent control, which we need for affordable housing in our community. And 99 does actually, it has the same protections against eminent domain, but it allows for rent control and also creates exceptions for public works and safety and crime and safety prevention in the community.
Dr. Bill from Progressive Democrats of America, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How to handle a woman. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Obama campaign is preparing to enter the next phase, converting those disappointed Hillary supporters. And I wonder about that, because you see, Hillary supporters, especially her female supporters, tend to include those women who were the first women to do whatever it is they do. They remember when a woman had to be twice, sometimes three times as smart as a man just to be considered equal, and they still got paid less. And if Barack Obama is going to appeal to those women, he can't keep doing what he did when Good Morning America asked his wife about those Republican ads.
Should you get through this process and you have the general election ahead of you, mm-hmm. that this is what you can expect mm-hmm. more and more yeah. of. Are you prepared for that?
You know, let me just interject on this.
Did you hear that? He interrupts her. He steals her question. It's like saying, I don't think she can answer that for herself, so I'd better jump in here. Now, my fellow men, I ask you, if you did that, or even implied that there was something your wife couldn't handle on her own, what would the next 24 hours be like at your house? How many hours of stony silence would it take before you figured it out? Now, maybe it's different when you're a guy that women faint for at regular intervals, but out here, in the real world, you don't steal your wife's questions. And, oh yeah, you don't do this either.
Senator, how are you going to help the American auto worker?
Well, hold on one second, sweetie. We're going to do a president.
Of course, he apologized for the sweetie remark.
That's a bad habit of mine. I do it sometimes.
Yeah, but I've tried the bad habit excuse, too. Good luck with that. Now this.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
On May 25th, at the Golden State Theater in Monterey, great local musicians will share their music to affirm a great local cause. Red Beans and Rice, Rashad Eggleston, Nico Gioris, Superior Olive, Elisa Feynman, and Kimball Hurd will perform to raise awareness of the aerial spraying of our communities with pesticides. Support their efforts to stop the spray. For your tickets to this May 25th benefit, go to www.goldenstatetheater.com.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Good, good, good.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, fueled by fresh cherries just in from Washington State. Oh, they're good. Oh, Brian's going to grab another handful. Next hour, Melanie Sloan checks in from Crewe. Among other topics, we're going to talk about John McCain's new no-lobbyist policy for his campaign, written by his campaign manager, a lobbyist who's on a leave of absence from his lobby shop. Oh, yeah, that's straight talk. That's the highest standard of ethics I've seen in, oh, the last 4 minutes. Jason Leopold returns. His new website with great investigative reporting is called The Public Record, on the web at pubrecord.org. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Good to be with you.
I'm fine. You want to name that tune?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And I want to say, you know, and you've been stumping me. Is it The Waterboys?
No, but there is water in the title. The song is called Waterfront, Get In, Get Out of the Rain.
Not The Alarm.
No. Lead singer used to be married to Chrissy Hynde.
Ooh. Peter, you did it again.
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. Oh, man. You know, Peter, I'm getting old.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're going to be a daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's losing that short-term memory or long-term memory, I guess. You know.
Well, at least your journalism is still strong. And,
Thank you.
Let's jump into the story that you most recently published at pubrecord.org about John McCain and the farm bill. Now, this is very interesting because yesterday we had a Democratic congressman from the Central Valley, Dennis Cardoza, on the program. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged that this farm bill is less than desirable, but there are enough goodies in there for every little constituent group that passed by veto-proof margins in both the House and the Senate. So this horse has left the barn. The president has threatened to veto it. And John McCain, and there is one Democratic congressman from the Bay Area, Pete Stark, who voted against it and is pretty outspoken in his opposition. But John McCain is approaching this from a very interesting perspective.
That's right. And in fact, you know, I spent about a week trying to get some folks on his campaign to basically, you know, provide me with a little insight as to exactly what John McCain's position was and on the bill and why he was voting against it. Now, let me just say that I went into the story pretty well aware of, you know, who John McCain's economic advisor is. And in addition to that, the fact that this farm bill also includes a provision that would close the so-called Enron loophole. And what that is that it would regulate the trading, energy trading, that takes place on electronic platform.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCain, finally, I had one of his aides in the campaign agreed to speak to me on background and said that, Phil Graham, former senator from Texas, Republican senator.
Ouch!
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Phil Graham, I mean, he is a knuckle-dragging Republican.
Right. This is a story that, you say, for me, it was, you know, the Enron loophole, John McCain, Phil Graham, opposition. You know, I was curious. And, you know, the provision Basically, his campaign said, well, he opposes the bill, particularly because it's just bad legislation and rewards lobbyists and these wealthy farmers who make millions in political donations. But in addition to that, John McCain opposes provision that would close that Enron loophole once and for all. And that's a very, very big deal, particularly for people who live in California, because it was still Graham who, as a senator, is the one who created the Enron loophole back in 2000. Now, let me just say that it was a law that that Bill Clinton signed in December of 2000, just weeks before he left the White House. But it was a law that allowed Enron and other energy companies as well to shield their trade, their energy trading, from federal oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically allowed Enron to use this new program that they had developed called Enron Online to conduct all this trading on electricity and natural gas, and it directly led to the enormous price spike that we saw in California during the energy crisis, which, as we know now, had nothing to do with a shortage, had nothing to do with demand, but was a simple result of manipulative practices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much this loophole, this speculative energy trading, does play a very big part in the sky-high oil prices that we're seeing today. You have to remember, the trading that's going on right now, the futures energy contract, has a direct impact on the spot market. If a barrel of oil is, 3-month contract selling for, $100, it's going to have an impact right now on what we pay at the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that loophole, that lack of oversight, where federal, the lawmakers and the Commodities Futures Trading Commission will now be able to, it will be more transparent to see if this trading is being, if there's any manipulation going on, or deceptive practices. And so John McCain was opposed to this bill, largely as a result of Phil Graham's advice. And he did speak out about it last week, I provided the background of how Phil Graham opened up the Enron loophole and the very close ties he, had with Ken Lay and Enron.
Mm-hmm.
And, one could argue that Phil Graham, in a sense, was an Enron lobbyist. His wife, by the way, served as a member of Enron's board.
Sure, they were really tight with Kenny Boy Lay. There's no question about that.
Very, very tight. And in fact, again, Phil and Wendy Graham both escaped the Enron debacle pretty much unscathed. And Wendy Graham was a chairwoman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, also created this put into effect this this rule, I guess you could say, that allowed Enron to conduct other trades without federal oversight. And just about 5 weeks after that was put into effect, she left her position at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, went onto the board of Enron, and was a member of their auditing committee.
Oh, great!
Signing off on all of their accounting practices,
right? Which were all the best practices worldwide. They figured out how to stash their losses in offshore entities and cook the balance sheets in ways that would make Julia Child proud.
Yeah, and it's really important, to in a sense bring this all back up, particularly because Phil Graham does play a very, very, very important role in the McCain campaign, and he's not only the advisor, his economic advisor, but he is somebody who whose name is being tossed around as a candidate for Treasury Secretary.
Oh, God.
If John McCain, you know, wins the presidency, which I think that, you know, perhaps there are a lot of people out there who think that it's a long shot, but as you and I both well know, you know, the Republicans are certainly playing games with the elections these days. And so, again, you know, Bill Graham voted against the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which more or less would have put into, which did actually put into effect, it held chief executives accountable for anything they sign off on regarding their company's finances. So, it you know, as we're taking a look at the other individuals in the McCain campaign, let's take a look at, you know, Phil Graham once again and question whether or not the economic advice that he's providing to John McCain is sound. You know, John McCain voted against the Bush tax cuts in 2001 and 2003, and has now said that he's going to, you know, if he's elected, he would make them permanent. So Phil Graham is definitely having a very, very strong impact. And, you know, as the years go by, people often forget, you know, what kind of baggage some of these candidates bring along.
We're talking with Jason Leopold. His new journalistic website is The Public Record on the web at pubrecord.org. And, Jason, I give you credit. I've been following the McCain campaign, not as closely as the Democrats, but this is the first I've heard that Phil Graham has such a central role. I mean, is he a lobbyist?
Yeah.
Because you have to be a lobbyist to really be a part of McCain's inner circle think tank.
Well, Phil Graham is now the vice president of UBS. UBS used to be UBS Warburg. It's UBS Financial Services. By the way, UBS, you know, played a pretty big role in the housing crisis. I mean, he's not a lobbyist, but he has used his position as a senator to now he's using his position or his connections as a politician to, in a sense, not, you know, lobby in the true sense, but certainly, you know, rub a few elbows along the way during his tenure at UBS. So he does fit the description.
And given the history here, I find this rich because you contacted a McCain aide who asked for anonymity, and you wrote, "A McCain aide told me that the Arizona senator opposes the farm bill because it rewards lobbyists by granting rich farmers lucrative subsidies, although he would support a reasonable level of assistance and risk management to farmers when they need America's help." Now, I'm just wondering, how many lobbyists on the campaign did you go through to get to this anonymous person who spoke about McCain rewarding lobbyists?
Yeah, it's actually very funny. And, you know, I have to say that when I got that quote, I did not really, you know, I was so focused on this particular story, this issue with the farm bill that was just passed last week, that I, you know, it took me a couple of days to actually say, oh, he said lobbyist. God, that's so ironic.
Yeah.
But I really, pressed this campaign, you know, probably at least 4 to 5 phone calls a day for a good week and emails. And, you know, I could tell you that they, you know, I didn't say, well, hey, Bill Graham is, you know, used to work for Enron, but I wanted to know, you know, I asked the question straight out, why does he, what is it about this bill, you know, that he objects to, that he opposes? And, you know, and when I, you know, happened to mention the, you know, the provision, and they're like, oh, he's, you know, he's been opposed to that for a while. And, you know, Bill Graham actually started to really advise John McCain back in 2005 when McCain, you know, indicated that, you know, he's going to make a run for the White House. So the economic policies, the philosophy in the McCain camp radically changed as a result of Phil Graham's influence. But just over the past year, It's really, you know, Phil Gramm's influence, particularly on economics, has helped McCain win over these staunch conservatives as a cause. You know, if you look back to 2002, from early on, McCain, you know, really sided with the Democrats on a lot of these issues.
That's right. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. Visit his new website, pubrecord.org. Pick up his memoir, News Junkie. And call us if you have a question about John McCain, the Farm Bill, and the Enron loophole. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA and pretty busy all of a sudden. We'll start things off in Hollister, 156 at Fairview Road. We're getting reports of a broken down car blocking that intersection. For Aptos Terrace Drive at Soquel Drive, a motorhome broken down. That's still partially blocking the roadway there. Heads up Salinas northbound, Harris Road at Abbott Street, a big rig lost a load of lettuce, and that's blocking the right-hand lane. For the Pacheco Pass westbound, 152 after Fifield Road, an injury crash, pickup truck off the roadway and down an embankment. It looks like emergency crews are on the way, but that may cause delays, people rubbernecking as they go by. Highway 17 currently checking and stalling accident-free, and this is brought to you by Kellymore Paints. All Kellymore manufactured premium paints and primers are now 30% off retail price during the Memorial Day sale, May 19th through the 25th. Sunday and holiday hours vary. Kellymore, the painter's paint store. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter. His new website, pubrecord.org. Foreigner, Urgent. The lead singer's name is Lou Gramm, no relation to Phil. We've been talking about Phil Gramm, the former senator from Texas who left quietly his seat in the Senate and has cashed in big time. And as you point out in your article, Phil Graham, Jason, received more than $34,000 in campaign money from Enron-related
right.
sources. Do we know how much money McCain took from Enron back in 2000?
I have to say that I don't know exactly how much, but the reports weren't updated, but the last, when I checked it on the finance reports, it showed that about $12,000.
Okay, so he took some, but it's not overwhelming.
No, and in fact, Bill Graham was, took, he took the most. So he certainly benefited from that relationship. And, one thing I do want to point out is that, I had spent many years covering Enron.
That's right.
Particularly the fallout after the bankruptcy, and I interviewed Jeff Skilling and spoke to various other officials. And after the bankruptcy, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission had released thousands and thousands of pages of documents and emails, and those emails are currently still available on the web at EnronExplorer.com. And this is a great website because, first of all, I don't think that many people are aware of it, but it really shows the influence that a company like Enron had on officials such as Phil Graham. And I typed his name into this website just to get to see what came up. And, this was perfect. I mean, this was like a gold mine just in terms of, showing the hypocrisy, if you will, with his involvement in advising McCain on economic legislation. And there's an email there where it's you have Enron's lobbyist Richard Shapiro saying, hey, Phil Graham's against this legislation for some other reason that doesn't have to do with Enron. We need to get him on the phone, get Ken Lay, let's set up the conference call so we can get Phil Graham behind this whole thing.
Yeah, let's take a call. We've got Andy in New York joins us. Hi, Andy. You're on with Jason Leopold.
Hi, Jason, and also Peter.
Yeah, my name's Peter. You remember him. Go ahead, Andy.
I'm having a mental enema, I guess. Yeah, I just wanted to say Brooks Lee Bourne. She could have been the hero in this whole thing. But she was ganged up upon by the Gang of Three, Robert Rubin, Alan Greenspan, Phil Graham. Put the screws to her, and they could have had good regulation as far as energy trading goes and had a lot more transparency going in that marketplace.
And
it was completely deregulated.
Remind us who Brooks Lee was. I remember the name.
Commodities Futures Exchange Commissioner, I believe.
Oh, right.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And this legislation or this loophole, if you will, that unregulated, if that's the right word, this exchange, this marketplace, is really contributed, to a major disaster in the energy markets. And you can trace this right back to December 2000, when this bill was pushed through by Phil Graham without the of a Senate committee hearing and signed into law by President Clinton. And, we are feeling the full effect of that today, Peter. So, again,
they couldn't have done it without the help of Robert Rubin and Bill Clinton to make this happen. And it's awful. Also, just one other thing. Obama's going to be in because Wall Street has given its seal of approval. Arthur Levitt, William Donaldson, David Reuter, all SEC commissioners, and
right.
Warren Buffett as well, endorsed Obama the other day. So he's in. The big money's behind Obama now.
Yeah. You got a good point there, Andy. Thank you.
That's a very good point.
Karen in Sacramento, got a minute. Go ahead.
The subsidies on the farm bill, will when we reform these subsidies, will we still be the country that exports our food at lower than market values to other countries?
That's a good question. This is a 5-year bill, by the way. So not likely over the next 5 years.
The subsidies were not trimmed, but the amount of money that one entity can receive was capped.
Okay.
And so there's a little bit of progress,
yeah,
but Karen, frankly, it's still a stinky subsidy bill at a time when farmers, for the most part, are doing quite well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. And, Jason, I just wanted to reference one other item that we might get to later in the program, and that is Senator Ben Nelson has learned that congressional earmarks often get skimmed by the agencies that they are nominally attached to. And this is a very interesting thing that we'll delve into because, of course, McCain postures as being totally against earmarks. And it'll be interesting to see how this shapes up as a campaign issue. Obama has even released a list of his own earmarks and said that he deplores the practice. So one's going to get hot. Thank you very much, Jason. Great to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter. You too. Take care.
We'll check with you next week. That's Jason Leopold. Visit the website, pubrecord.org. We'll take a break and return with Melanie Sloan from Crew. Just another couple of comments about John McCain and a few others. I'm Peter B. Collins.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. CBS News estimates a victory for Hillary Clinton in Kentucky's primary. But is it enough to save her candidacy? CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss is in Louisville, where Clinton is expected to address her supporters in just a few minutes.
It's looking like another very big win for Hillary Clinton, similar to the drubbing she gave Barack Obama last week in neighboring West Virginia. She won voters across the board, with most of them saying they won't support Obama if he's the nominee, and every indication is he will be. Despite this big win, the number of delegates Clinton will gain tonight won't put a dent in Obama's lead, which will likely grow after the Oregon results. Hillary Clinton insists she'll go on, but with only three small primaries left after tonight, the end may be near. Bob Buzz, CBS News, Louisville, Kentucky.
Oregon has a mail-in primary, and some waited until the very last minute to pick their candidate.
I guess I'm a procrastinator.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
I tried to drop by last night, and it was already closed. So I'm just trying to make sure I do my part.
I don't have an excuse.
The tallying begins in Oregon at 11 p.m. Eastern. A heartbreaking diagnosis for the man known as the liberal lion of the U.S. Senate. Senator Ted Kennedy has a brain tumor called a malignant glioma. It isn't clear yet what treatment options his doctors have decided on. Dr. Michael Sisti is a neurosurgeon at Columbia University.
If the tumor is close to the surface and reasonably small, it could be successfully removed. However, if the tumor is infiltrating deeply into the brain, then there could be risk to sensory function or movement, in which case surgery would probably be a bad idea.
Fellow Massachusetts Senator John Kerry called Kennedy an unbelievable fighter, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I know that that fighting spirit will hold him in good stead in the challenge that he faces now.
Kennedy's tumor was discovered after doctors conducted tests following a seizure the 76-year-old had over the weekend. His wife sent an email to friends saying he's ready to take this on. He was the alleged 20th hijacker on 9/11, and his lawyer says he tried to kill himself at Guantanamo last month. A Justice Department report, meanwhile, says military and CIA interrogators ignored warnings from the FBI that their methods were sometimes too harsh. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has that.
We're just breaking the record.
The 370-page report from the Inspector General provides the most detailed account to date of what one former official describes as the trench warfare between the FBI and the Pentagon over the treatment of detainees. Tensions boiled over during the harsh interrogation of Mohammed Al-Qahtani, the alleged 20th hijacker. One FBI agent reported that the Pentagon's tactics were ineffective and possibly illegal, while another agent called the CIA's methods borderline torture.
oil prices topped $129 a barrel today. Analyst Phil Friend says one industry watcher believes oil prices are now the market's biggest worry. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 199 points and the Nasdaq was lower by 23. This is CBS News.
It's time to get set for summer at the Ace Memorial Day Sale. Buy a portable canopy chair for only $24.99 and get a $5 rebate, limit one. Five other great items with a full cost rebate. Ace Royal Paint, starting at the everyday low price of $19.99 a gallon, and now with a $5 rebate, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn double points. Friday through Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
Hey, what's that?
It's a Garmin Nuvi.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
What do you mean, thanks?
Well, a Nuvi personal navigator is a great graduation gift.
Not so fast, sport. A Garmin Nuvi is also a great Father's Day gift.
But I'll be going away to school. I could really use a Nuvi.
Okay, listen. Who is always getting lost?
Oh, yeah. Right. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
So, what's it doing in your mom's car?
For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Detectives and scientists have joined together in a remote area of Death Valley National Park. They're searching for undiscovered graves at a ranch where Charles Manson once hid after the murder of actress Sharon Tate and six others.
The Barker Ranch is in the middle of nowhere.
That's Emmett Harder. He's a prospector in this desolate, wind-whipped area. He says there have been many stories suggesting that there might be other victims of the Manson family.
I was told about five different people that... This girl said we was murdered out by the family.
Dorothy Brush has lived in this area for more than 80 years. Does she think they will actually find other Manson family members?
Nothing would surprise me.
The digging will go on for the next 4 days. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Barker Ranch in Death Valley.
Miss a good night's sleep and feel your brain isn't working the next day? Scientists now have found sleep deprivation can cause sudden shutdowns. They compare it to a power failure in the brain. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hello, this is William Shatner, and I'd like to tell you about a project I've been working on my entire life. Actually, it is my entire life. Up Till Now, that is. That's the name of my new book. Up Till Now is the story of my life, including that unfortunate incident with Coco the gorilla, the true story of my encounter with an alien in the desert, the practical joke I played on an entire town, and all the other events that caused Publishers Weekly to say that my sincerity, honesty, and sense of humor all come across at warp speed. Up Till Now is available wherever books are sold.
This summer, when you're ready to take the family out on the road, make sure your car is just as prepared. Come into the Sears Auto Center this week where all Michelin tires are on sale. Purchase four new Michelin tires and get them all installed for free after mail-in rebate. The Sears Auto Center is open 7 days a week plus nights, and you can shop while your car is being serviced. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome. So come into the Sears Auto Center and get ready to live like it's summer. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Free tire installation has a $56 value. Offer valid 5/18/08, 5/24/08.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments welcome. You know the rules. Rules are simple. You can talk about any subject, offer any viewpoint, and call me from anywhere in the sound of my voice. The McCain campaign has a new policy about lobbyists, and the new policy was written by a lobbyist. Isn't that special? Melanie Sloan joins us as usual from CREW, Citizens for Responsibilities and Ethics. That's singular, Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're on the web at citizensforethics.org. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
I just think this is fascinating that McCain suddenly has realized that he is surrounded by lobbyists and that it's a little embarrassing. And so he says, let's have a new policy. And he puts Rick Davis, his campaign manager and a lobbyist, in charge of formulating the new policy.
That's right. And now he's told, Rick Davis has told everybody they have to tell the campaign who they're lobbying for, who's paying them. You would have thought they might have gotten to that somewhere before now.
Well, you would. And the rule is that if you're lobbying for either an American company or a foreign government or business, you cannot be employed by the campaign. But haven't a lot of these wealthy lobbyists who get six- and seven-figure contracts from foreign governments ranging from Saudi Arabia to Burma and from corporations including the phone companies and others that have had business before Senator McCain's Commerce Committee, if they call themselves volunteers, are they allowed to stay on?
That's right. I believe the volunteers are allowed to stay on. What you can't do is be paid currently by a lobbying firm. But a lot of people in Washington, and not just people who are currently working for McCain, there are lobbyists who are lobbyists and then take time off or leave their lobbying firms to go work on campaign work. And that's what Mr. McCain has. And just the most recent person who's had to leave is a guy named Tom Loeffler, a big lobbyist who's making a ton of money while working for the McCain campaign. He's now left, although interestingly, someone who's still there is Susan Nelson. Susan Nelson did work for Tom Loeffler, and she had left the Loeffler firm, but she was still making $15,000 a month she was being paid by Loeffler while working on fundraising for the McCain campaign, which seems like a huge problem and potentially, in fact, a Federal Election Commission violation she was being paid by someone else to work on the campaign. That's a violation of campaign finance law.
And, Melanie, I've told you about this before, but there is this beautiful online chart that was created by the folks over at Media Matters. David Brock and Paul Waldman have a new book out about McCain and the media, and it's called Free Ride. And I want to take a moment here to give you the web address because it should be updated soon to remove a few names. It's MediaMattersAction.org/freeride, that's the name of the book, /lobbyists. I'll repeat that, MediaMattersAction.org/freeride/lobbyists. And this makes it very easy to quote, for example, about Thomas Loeffler. He is a founder of the Loeffler Group, which represents AT&T, the National Association of Broadcasters, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, called Pharma, the Port of Houston, Southwest Airlines, Toyota Motor Company, and Airbus. And Airbus is a critical issue because John McCain took a position against Boeing related to the construction of this new refueling tanker craft, and that deal was awarded to a consortium that includes Airbus. Isn't that special?
That is true. Now, I have to tell you that I'm sort of with McCain on the Airbus versus Boeing deal. Boeing has had a lot of its own problems, and a lot of its former executives have gone to jail over a former Boeing tanker deal. But I agree with you completely that there's a real problem that McCain is the anti-lobbyist and says he's not impacted by lobbyists, but yet he supported a deal that benefited Airbus all while he's running for president of the United States and has lobbyists who work for Airbus.
Well, and this just shows how complicated it gets, Melanie. I understand. I didn't support Boeing. At the same time, if the way for the Airbus deal was greased by Tom Loeffler and Chairman McCain, I've got problems.
And I agree with you. I'm not supporting the Boeing deal, but I definitely have a problem with the Loeffler-McCain relationship. But I think the bottom of this is really that McCain has been putting himself out there as the ethics reformer, the campaign finance reformer, the guy who is better than everyone else. He's out there talking about the problems with lobbyists being integrally involved in campaign fundraising and involved in campaigns. And here he is. He's that guy. He's that guy he's been complaining about for the past 10 years. And he's doing everything that he said everybody else shouldn't do. So it sort of seems like McCain thinks the rules just don't apply to him. him. They're just for everybody else. Because, and this is something we see so often in Washington, somebody who says, well, I'm an ethical guy, so you can't question my ethics, even though I'm doing things that look unethical.
Yeah. And Charles Black, Charlie Black, is a chief political advisor on the campaign, and he has acknowledged to reporters that he continues to conduct lobbying phone calls while he's riding on McCain's Straight Talk Express.
Well, he was certainly saying that all the way through March, although he is now saying that he's retired. So as a result of this massive problem, he's now saying he's retired and he's not doing it anymore. But I'm not sure why, just because he's not doing it in May, if he was doing it in March, that makes it suddenly okay.
Yeah. And you also mentioned Susan Nelson. She was employed by the Loeffler lobbying group, and her assignment was simply Airbus. So, again, putting aside the merits of who got that contract, John McCain has two people in his inner circle, or at least he did, who stood to gain from the outcome of that decision.
That's right, and I believe Susan Nelson's still there, so she hasn't left yet.
Oh, she hasn't? Okay.
Yeah, just Loeffler. He's one of the five, and the McCain campaign has said there are going to be more people leaving soon, but he has so many lobbyists involved in his campaign that really you've got to have to wonder who he's going to hire if all these people go.
Yeah, and Melanie, in the segment preceding you, Jason Leopold revealed to me, it was news to me, that former Senator Phil Graham, the senator from Enron, is the chief economic advisor to John McCain, and counseled him on his opposition to the farm bill because it would close a loophole that had benefited Enron and could be used to benefit others. So he's just surrounded by people, in my view, of questionable character, and yet he tries to make his character a central focus of the campaign.
Right. Again, I agree with you, but again, I got to give McCain a little due. It's good that somebody finally voted against that farm bill because it was just pork for everybody, and that was a good stand. But it is by no means okay that Phil Graham, who's a major Washington lobbyist, also is a major advisor to the campaign. And again, it's McCain saying one thing. He's talking the talk, but he's not walking the walk. And I think that's what the problem is, the hypocrisy that we're seeing over and over from John McCain. And if he wants to be the reform guy, he's going to have to do better than this.
Indeed. And again, I want to repeat that URL so you can check out this chart, because it's rich and you can spend 20 minutes just rolling your mouse over it and gathering information. MediaMattersAction.org/freeride/lobbyists. Melanie Sloan, what's the latest on Republican Congressman from New York, Vita Fossella, who got a DUI, then was exposed for having an extra girlfriend with a love child in Washington, and it seems that he's going to do a Larry Craig.
Well, he's finally announced now that he's going to retire.
Oh, I missed.
Not going to run again.
I missed that. That's news today.
That's news today. And I don't want to take too much credit, but Crew yesterday filed an ethics complaint against him, saying that it seemed like Mr. Fossella, who was Lieutenant Colonel Fay, who he was having the affair with, was the Air Force liaison to Congress. And she was responsible for arranging a lot of their foreign travel back in 2003. And so Vito Fossella seemed to be taking a particularly large amount of foreign trips in Lieutenant Colonel Fay's company, particularly one trip to France that was just the two of them went on this congressional delegation, because there's so much for us to study there in France that we don't know about.
Yeah.
So they went on this trip, and it seems like he was conducting his affair at taxpayer expense. So it's one thing to have an affair. We are, not the morals police at Crew, but we are the taxpayer-funded travel police.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Vito Fossella was using congressional travel to conduct his affair, which violates House rules. So we asked the House Ethics Committee to look at that. And now it was already a big story in New York. It's gaining further traction. And now Mr. Fossella has announced his retirement. And I think it may well be because he's afraid that if he doesn't retire and he brings too much harm to the party, no one will pay him to be a lobbyist.
Well, good work on that one, Melanie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about Hans von Spakovsky. You have been, we talked earlier, maybe 2 weeks ago, about Crew's effort to get the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, out of mothballs and back into business, because after all, there's a major campaign underway. And the White House has been jockeying around appointments, and clearly the Senate was not prepared to confirm Mr. von Spakovsky. And what's his current status?
Right. So on Friday, after 5, of course, which is when the White House does everything, Mr. Von Spakovsky withdrew his name for consideration from the FEC, allowing some kind of deal to move forward. And I recommend to your readers a op-ed that Mr. Von Spakovsky wrote in today's Wall Street Journal that is really the pity party for me. It is poor Mr. Von Spakovsky, who was only doing the right thing all along, and all the evil liberals just stopped him from moving forward. And he talked about the politicized nature of the Justice Department, but in Von Spakovsky's view, it was the liberally politicized nature of the Justice Department, not, as we all well know, the right-wing loon fringe that was controlling the Justice Department, who was the problem.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny reading. But now he's out, and now there's a deal that's been made, and it looks like they're going to move forward with putting people on the FEC. Now, we've been all in favor of there being a new commission and people being appointed, but in place of Von Spakovsky, we have Don McGahn. And, you know, we want not just a working FEC, but the right people working at the FEC. Who is Don McGahn? He's Tom DeLay's ethics lawyer.
Oh, God.
It's like you have to try to come up with this stuff, wouldn't you think?
I was just talking to Wayne Slater of the Dallas Morning News yesterday for an update on DeLay.
Uh-huh.
And he said he was on his way to Austin to find out because it had been too quiet for too long. So that's just amazing. I guess Alberto Gonzalez turned them down.
I guess so. And, you know, that DeLay story is one that just keeps pending and pending. And, you know, I personally keep waiting for him to be indicted. But I do have one piece of good news on the DeLay front, which is that apparently Tom DeLay is having trouble getting lobbying clients here in Washington because he is viewed as taking the party down and staying too long. So he is somebody who they are holding up as an example to people like Vito Fisella. You don't want to end up like Tom DeLay, unable to get a lobbying job because you brought the party down.
Well, maybe Ashcroft will split one of those sweetheart deals where he monitors a settlement for a prosecutor with DeLay.
Yes, no doubt. That's probably in the works.
Keep him off the streets. Melanie, thank you very much. Keep at it.
Okay, my pleasure.
And go to fixthefec.org to find out more about the problems there at the Federal Election Commission. We're going to run to a break and then open up the phone lines. It's the Free Speech Zone. Let me know what's on your mind. Lines available right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
For me, it started in the fields. It started seeing people sick and dying from pesticide poisoning. I'm Bill Monning. I'm a candidate for Assembly today because working together, I know we can make a difference. I brought growers, workers, and neighbors together to take on the chemical companies. That fight took me to Sacramento, where I helped pass bills that have protected workers, rural residents, and our environment. I'm Bill Monning. Working with people to improve our lives and build our community is what is most important to me. For the past 35 years, I've raised a family here, taught at the Monterey Institute and the Monterey College of Law, and worked to build mediation alternatives to legal disputes. My latest project is bringing conflict resolution into our schools to keep kids from resorting to violence. Now I want to take those mediation skills to get things done in Sacramento. Join our campaign. To volunteer for Monning for Assembly, call 655-1792 or check our website, billmonning.org. Paid for by Bill Monning for Assembly.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in southern Monterey County, Big Sur area, Highway 1 near Nepenthe. We have reports of an injury crash, a couple of motorcycles down, and that may have the northbound lanes of Highway 1 blocked. It looks like emergency crews have a helicopter on the way to take away the injured party. CHP just arriving on the scene there. From Monterey County, eastbound 68 at Laguna Seca, we have a crash, a couple of cars off to the side. CHP's on the scene. Southbound 1 at Del Monte Boulevard in Monterey, an accident. Had the left lane blocked. Looks like that's been cleared into the center divide, and 152 west of the Big Cut. This is on the westbound side. A vehicle went off the roadway and down a steep embankment. No injuries there. CHP is on the way to take a report. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
In the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. All my lines are open, so grab one. It'll be a short wait on hold, and Brian will take your call here, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Aldous Tyler's going to join us about 10 minutes away and update us on the Nonstop Radio, a progressive radio conference coming up this summer. And I want to tell you about a couple of interesting emails I have received. As you know, I am an Obama supporter, and I have said that I think it's time for Hillary Clinton to acknowledge the reality that she's not going to win the nomination, and that she should quit trying to bend the math to suit her aims, and accept that she's in second place, and Obama has successfully garnered the nomination. Yes, he needs a few more superdelegates to put him over the top, but tonight in Iowa, he is going to state the obvious, and that is that he's in first place and that the nomination should go to him. So, here's an interesting development. According to the Huffington Post, Haim Saban, who is a very rich Clinton supporter, he made his fortune on the Power Rangers TV show. He has offered the Young Democrats of America access to $1 million in funds if the two remaining superdelegates in the Young Democrats of America, David Hart and Crystal Strait, will endorse Senator Clinton. That's right, he dangled $1 million for two superdelegates. Now, I'm not going to accuse him of graft or corruption here. It's just slimy. And maybe it's against the law. I'll let others weigh in on that. But it shows how desperate some Clinton supporters are. And Exhibit 2, which I'm holding up to the microphone right now, is a full-page ad in Tuesday's New York Times with a picture of Senator Clinton, and it says, "Not so fast. Hillary's voice is our voice, and she's speaking for all of us." And it says, "We are the women of this nation. We are from all political parties." I'm sliding through it quickly here. "We know that when women vote, Democrats win. Now it is the responsibility of our party to hear our voices and count all of our votes. We want Hillary to stay in this race until every vote is cast, every vote is counted, and we know that our voices are heard." All right, fair enough. That's their opinion. So at the bottom, it reveals who paid for it. Women Count PAC. That's a political action committee with an address in San Francisco. So there's an email address, and I sent them a note earlier today saying that I might be interested in interviewing a representative. Please give me more info on who's involved in the Women Count PAC, who is funding it, and who you would offer to speak for you. So I got an email back, and it reads, "We have several spokespersons. What is your number? So I can let them all know how to reach you." Women Count PAC is funded by hundreds of individuals. Parentheses, we formed on Monday, and every day our donor base grows. Now, they put an ad in today's New York Times, and they say they formed the PAC yesterday, and it was founded by a handful of women in the Bay Area and the East Coast. She didn't answer any of my questions. It's an email from Belinda Munoz. But her address is Buell Office, SF. That's the office of Mark and Susie Buell. Susie was the co-founder of Esprit and is a very staunch Hillary supporter. And I don't begrudge her point of view, but why does it have to be disguised as Women Count PAC? And why would they be so evasive when I offer to talk to them on the radio and they didn't answer my questions directly? It does get curiouser and curiouser. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. Katrina Rill produces our program. Brian Urban taking your calls.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention. And I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast.
They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
You can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
Hey, thanks for turning to this station and the Peter B. Collins Show. If you take the time and trouble to listen to this program on a great AM station, on the internets, or via podcasts, however you do it, I'm grateful for your support. And as you know, Progressive Talk Radio is still in somewhat of an infancy, really been on the air since 2003-2004 on a national basis, and there are challenges. We, as you know, if you listen to this program, we lost our affiliate in Sacramento, KSAC, not because our ratings were low, but because the station was unable to sell advertising. I think a lot of those problems were internal, but the bottom line is the same, that we lost Progressive Talk Radio in a very important market in California, the capital city. It's one of the top 20 markets in the country. And so far, we have not found footing to regain an outlet in the Sacramento area. And one of the people who came to our assistance and who also has assisted progressives who want to support, expand, or regain talk radio in their own cities is Aldous Tyler from NonstopRadio.com. Their slogan is All Talk, All Action. Aldous, welcome back to the program.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm right now preparing to head out of town, but in the meantime, I'm getting some work done here.
Well, great. Well, I wanted to get an update from you just on the state of talk radio, progressive on the progressive side. But first, I just wanted to get out the information about the symposium coming up this August and direct people to your website at nonstopradio.com where they can get full information. And we're going to gather in Madison, Wisconsin, your hometown.
That's right, Peter, and rumor has it you're going to be there.
I am threatening to be there unless they arrest me before then.
August 1st through 3rd, Madison, Wisconsin, a nice venue called the Alliant Energy Center. So, yeah, nonstopradio.com is the place where you can find the links to that. And, but you know, honestly, it's going to be just an incredible time. There's going to be a number of Progressive Talk luminaries there, yourself included. You know, and so it's just going to be an incredible event because we expect to be pulling together people from around the country who are going to be there to forge a national network, a community of progressive talk activists, people who you know you can count on when the chips are down and you need help either keeping your progressive talk station on in the area or getting a new one where you need it.
And let's name names, because I'm not embarrassed to talk about the people who populate our radio stations and some people regard as competitors, but I believe that we're all in this pulling on oars to bring America the news and views that they need, and it's more critical than ever in this election year. So Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, Rachel Maddow, Cenk Uygur, I always have trouble with his name, from the Young Turks, Richard Green from Air America, John Elliott from Air America, and John Nichols, who is the author of many books. He writes for The Nation. He's the editorial director at your Capital Times in Madison. And he's also a co-founder of Free Press, and they're sponsoring the National Conference for Media Reform. We'll be broadcasting live from there in the first week of June, and that event is going on in Minneapolis. So you've recruited a lot of great people, and I'm very pleased to see this, Aldis, and I hope that our listeners will respond. Go to the website, and to the extent they can, join us in Madison. I know that some people don't make a lot of money who listen to this show, and we certainly wouldn't guilt you into showing up. But there are a lot of people who can't afford to travel and who might be able to add this to your summer excursion. So it is Friday, August 1st through Sunday, August 3rd. And it's occurring in Madison, Wisconsin. And what is the enrollment fee for a person who wants to join us for this event?
Well, we actually recently had a change of policy there specifically designed to help people spend their economic stimulus checks better. Because, you know, frankly, my whole thing is I want people to go out and spend their economic stimulus checks on Progressive Talk sponsors. And so to make sure they had more of that to do it with, we brought the baseline entry level that will get you in for all 3 days of the conference down to $49 a person.
That's great. So it's affordable for just about anybody who's working and can afford to travel. And I don't presume. I know a lot of people listen to this program who live on pensions or are barely scraping by on one or two jobs, and I really understand that. But those of us who can't afford to put an airline ticket on a credit card or hop on Amtrak or even at $4 a gallon wheel out to Madison, I think that this is going to be a very important conference. And give us an idea of what the focus will be. What are we going to be talking about, Aldis?
Well, there's all sorts of different aspects to making Progressive Talk a stable and thriving format. I mean, as you mentioned, Peter, as an actual format, a national thing, Progressive Talk has really only been on the air since late 2003, early 2004. There have been independent hosts that have had Progressive Talk shows, you know, scattered throughout the country before that, but it really unified as a format at that time. And because of that, sadly, it's really easy to harm it, and there's been a lot of harm done in the past couple of years by basically neglect. And many people who would normally advertise on virtually any other form of radio, including conservative talk radio, haven't picked it up so much. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to focus on how people can better integrate their commercial community into their radio community so that they can go ahead and bring in advertisers and sponsors to support radio that gives you news and views free of right-wing talking points.
Yeah. Well, and that's very important because whether people like it or not, public radio is structured in such a way that you really can't have very strong opinions, and it's dominated by network programming that is, in my view, tightly controlled, and it prevents the expression of strong opinion. And so, again, like it or not, commercial radio is the venue where progressives can exchange their views and argue with those of our right-wing competitors. And it's very important that we acknowledge that it's a business and that we build it and build its future on strong business foundations. And that includes finding the advertisers and accessing those in our community who aren't currently advertising and saying, look, this is in your self-interest. This is in the community's best interest to grow and sustain progressive talk stations. And we can't do it without listeners and, most importantly, without advertisers.
Well, exactly. And by coming to the conference, what you're going to do, first of all, is not only network amongst many other people just like you who want to see Progressive Talk not only survive but thrive, you're going to be linking together with some of the top names in the business, which you were kind enough to list off there. I mean, John Nichols, for example, he's a media reform god. And then you have Ed Schultz, who's arguably one of the most commercially successful of the progressive talk shows. And you have Stephanie Miller, who's also doing very well. And then you've got, Rachel Maddow frequently gets on MSNBC with Keith Olbermann, and she's very well recognized. All these people, including yourself, Peter, have, the VIPs, if you will, have pledged that they want to come down and be a part of forging this network of people who will be there to make sure that progressive talk continues and grows.
And Aldis, I want to commend you because this may not be real significant to our listeners, but you have recognized the exigencies of the business of radio and in particular sustaining talk radio, and you've put together what is a kind of a rep firm. You call it the Consortium, and you're going to be approaching advertisers on behalf of many of the independent and individual progressive talk radio stations around the country. And that's where I really commend you, because you are taking action and you're living up to your slogan of all talk, all action. And you're addressing the fundamental issue that we need to thrive and survive.
Well, exactly. I mean, basically, most progressive talk stations are, let's put it mildly, isolated when it comes to their ability to generate sales. It's usually one station in one market with not too much in the way of other progressive talk stations nearby, and probably not a great network of other stations to work with. So what I've attempted to do is allow stations to band together with my help so that they can sell advertising on a national level together.
Well, I think it's excellent, and I'm really glad you're moving forward with that. Now, Aldis Tyler, I want to give out your email address for people who'd like to get more information or sign up to join us in Madison. It's simple. It's proceed@nonstopradio.com. Proceed, P-R-O-C-E-E-D, at nonstopradio.com. Now, give us a quick sketch. Are we making progress? Columbus is still on the air, right?
That's correct. Columbus is. Again, I'm working very closely with them because, I'll be honest, WVKO, 1580 AM in Columbus, could really use a more stable advertiser base. They have some, but it's not nearly as much as Gary, the owner there, would like. I know that we can drum up more there. I mean, shoot, Columbus votes majority Democrat every time an election comes up. You know there's progressives there. What we need to do is make sure that the business owners of Columbus understand that one of the best ways to reach all those people who are progressive and Democrat is to go ahead and advertise where they're listening, which is progressive talk.
Mm-hmm. And what's going on in Eugene, Oregon right now?
Well, right now, Eugene, Oregon, basically KOPT was sold to their local public broadcaster. And sadly, some of the local take on that was that, well, it didn't really lose that much in the way of progressive voice because it went to public broadcasting. But, well, Peter, you made a point that in public broadcasting, you can only have so strong an opinion. And there is another point to consider, and that is public broadcasting relies enough of its funding on the federal government that whoever's in power there has a large amount of clout as to what does and does not get said on PBS.
That's right. And just as an example, we have seen the lockout, the media lockout or blackout of the story about how the Pentagon generals were inserted into the television news media during and after the invasion of Iraq. And while public television has done one story on it, and I believe NPR has done one, in general, it's a non-story because the corporate media just has decided that they don't want to embarrass themselves by disclosing the extent to which they colluded with the Pentagon.
Well, exactly. One of the things that progressive talk is, honestly, is a fourth estate to the fourth estate. It is free to basically go and look at the media as whenever the media itself isn't doing a proper job, and it's able to give a proper, honest critique of it. It may seem kind of odd, but honestly, it's just as necessary as the press itself is to the rest of society. Because if you don't have, basically, it's one of those things about who will police the police. Well, basically, if you do not have something out there that is keeping an active watch on how accurate the media is, then the media will essentially degenerate to the way it has been, which is to say that basically they'll go ahead and rip and read reports right from the government as if it's news, even when it's actually propaganda. They'll do whatever they feel like and basically call it legitimate news. And thankfully, there's Progressive Talk stations out there and Progressive Talk voices like yours, Peter, that goes and makes sure that the record is set straight.
Well, and Aldous, I just got back from Missoula, Montana. On your webpage, you show the KMPT website is up and operating there. And we really got quite a lot of good feedback in Missoula from the presence of Progressive Talk. And it's encouraging because that's a fairly conservative state, and we are seeing that people are rallying and supporting the effort. So that's the kind of thing that we want to see continue and expand to markets and cities where we need to build a presence or solidify the one that we have. Aldous, I want to thank you for joining us. Again, the website, nonstopradio.com. Get the information there about the symposium coming up, and that is August 1st through 3rd in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
I'm looking forward to it, Peter. Have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, Aldous Tyler. We're going to take a break and return. If you want to join me in the free speech zone, let me know what's on your mind. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Still have a couple of things out there for you. Starting in southern Monterey County, big problem southbound one at Big Sur. Motorcycle down in the southbound lanes. Another motorcycle may have gone over the guardrail off to the side of the roadway. CHP's on the scene and a medical helicopter is on the way, so it does look like it's pretty serious injury crash. Again, the southbound lanes are closed down there. For Salinas, Harris Road northbound at Abbott Street, Big Rig lost a load of lettuce in the right lane. Looks like CHP directing traffic as crews work to clear that out of your way. And in Santa Clara County on the Pacheco Pass, westbound 152 after Fifield Road, injury crash there. Pickup truck off the roadway and down a steep embankment. They have a tow truck on the way out for that. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
We're in the home stretch here on the PBC show.
Watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Well, come on, Kim. We'll wrap it up in a few minutes. I got one more segment to go here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a line available if you want to make a comment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We find Mike in Sacramento on the line. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Peter B. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I miss my Sacramentans.
Well, obviously, you made a comment about it, and we miss, well, I don't miss you because I've been forced to the Internet. And in line with what you were just talking about, I'm having to dig to find progressive messages. The more I dig, the more I get disgusted.
Tell me why.
Well, for example, today I went to C-SPAN and I watched a hearing, questions being asked of the guy who's running the EPA.
Yeah, Johnson?
Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Very disrespectful. But the chairman, who I have some confidence in, lost it. He lost his cool. Daryl Issa, being the ass that he is, got into a pretty heated argument to the point where the chairman told him he'd have him physically removed.
Who was chairing the meeting?
You know, his name slips my mind. He's very well known, and I'm uh-huh. sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
I do know that he could be the best lawyer in Hollywood. He is a Californian.
Oh, it's Waxman.
It's Mr. Waxman. You're
okay.
right.
I
apologize. But that kind of thing does not impress me. In fact, Congress on the whole does not impress me.
Well, now, since you've teased us with this, Mike, explain what happened between Issa and Waxman. Issa can be very provocative, but he's a complicated guy. There are occasions where I think, wow, he's kind of reasonable for a Republican.
Well,
like on some Middle East issues, because he's of Lebanese extraction, he's actually a little more reasonable at moments than many of his Republican buddies.
Well, having spent a little time in San Diego, he's a San Diego extraction, and I got no sympathy for San Diegans because they've allowed Republicans, the likes of the great fighter pilot, to run things down there. So
yeah, but if they didn't support ISA, their car alarms would go off all at the same time.
Well, they need to solve those problems.
All right. So what happened at the committee? What did ISA do?
There was a refusal on part of the EPA agency head, Mr. Johnson.
Stephen Johnson.
To answer a direct question as to whether Cheney told him what to do in regards to rule changes and in regards to California's petition of the federal government to allow it to improve certain emission laws.
Right. We wanted to ask for another waiver. These have been routinely granted to California in the past to impose stricter tailpipe emission regulations than the federal government has.
So Waxman, as the chairman of the committee, exercised a little prerogative and was pushing hard on getting answers to questions. And Daryl Issa injected himself, saying, "Show me the rules where you have the privilege to take time from us." And Waxman turned visibly shaken, turned to him and said, told him to stop, or he would have him forcibly removed.
Mm-hmm.
So my point being, this is not what my progressive mind views as being appropriate. It's smacked of Republican, specifically the House Judiciary Committee's activities.
All right, so let me get this straight, Mike. What you're saying is even though you support what the intent of Chairman Waxman, you felt that he overstepped his bounds, A, by violating the rules by essentially just taking time for his own questions, and B, by essentially threatening ISA in that manner. Is that your point?
Well, I think the threatening process, yes. I don't know what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
But
in general, the chair gets to do what the chair wants.
Well, in this case, the chair did the wrong thing, whether he was a Republican or a Democrat, in the way he handled ISA.
Mm-hmm.
And there was disrespect from the testimonies being given also.
But part of it is that Waxman and others felt they were being buffaloed or lied to, and that the White House is hiding behind executive privilege to try to prevent us from knowing whether it was Cheney or somebody else in the White House who insisted that Johnson overrule all of the consensus of EPA leadership and every expert whom he consulted. And the news accounts indicate that staffers have told us that Johnson was planning to approve at least a partial waiver for California and then was overruled by the White House and had to kind of twist his own neck around in order to make that change.
Well, he claimed in this testimony that that didn't happen. That things were characterized that way in the press, and he claims that that did not happen. But be that as it may, what we have is a situation where the people who are appointed, the people who are chairing committees, the people who are members, they're all disgracing themselves to the point of being not upholding their oaths. And this is particularly disgusting to me. Again, back to I'm looking for people who are responsible and bringing real issues in the media. That I'm sharing. Another example of what I'm trying to say, I'm not doing a very good job, I guess, was on Democracy Now! This morning,
mm-hmm.
a discussion about the appointment that has not been confirmed yet to a federal district.
Go ahead, wrap it up, Mike. I'm listening.
To a federal district court lifetime position of the chief counsel for the largest private corrections company in the United States.
All right, I'm out of time, Mike, but I'll look into that, and I appreciate your call today. That's Mike in Sacramento. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Keep smiling. I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. CBS News estimates Hillary Clinton is the big winner in Kentucky, with 92% of precincts reporting Clinton has 65% of the tabulated vote to Obama's 30%. And Senator Clinton just moments ago in Louisville.
We're winning the popular vote, and I'm more determined. More determined than ever to see that every vote is cast and every ballot counted.
And Clinton appealed to superdelegates, saying she's the best candidate to beat John McCain.
I believe passionately that for the sake of our country, the Democrats must take back the White House and end Republican rule.
We're also awaiting results from Oregon's mail-in primary. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman joins us live from Des Moines, Iowa, where we're expecting to hear from Barack Obama. Steve?
Well, Cammie, no matter what Hillary Clinton is saying, Barack Obama is expected in the next 90 minutes to declare here that he has won the majority of the pledged or elected delegates. That would still be short of the number actually needed to win the nomination. But Obama and his campaign believe this is a landmark moment on their way to eventually capturing the nomination. He is making the speech here in Des Moines, Iowa. This is where Obama got his first big win, the Iowa caucus, back in January. Live in Des Moines, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Doctors in Massachusetts said today that Senator Ted Kennedy has a brain tumor, a malignant glioma, it's called. Dr. Patrick Kelly is a retired neurosurgeon at New York University Medical Center and is operating on thousands of brain tumors.
With treatment, with as aggressive surgery as one can do, radiation, chemotherapy,
The mean survival is now about 14 to 16 months.
Kennedy's colleagues in Congress were shocked by the news. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein with more.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid leads a long list of senators and members of Congress hoping for the best for Kennedy.
He has risen to every challenge he's faced, and we're confident that he will rise to this one as well.
Back in January, Kennedy surprised many by endorsing Barack Obama for the Democratic nomination.
I might not be in the Senate had it not been for some of the battles he's fought for voting rights and civil rights.
90-year-old Robert Byrd of West